Are you feeling stuck in your business? You became an entrepreneur because you were so passionate and excited about your expertise. But somewhere down the line, you've ended up with a lot of frustration, disappointment, and dissatisfaction. You're working too many hours for too little money and not having a lot of fun. Contact Kate Beaters at katebeaters.com to learn how you can build the business and life you love by having success on your own terms. Contact katebeaters.com today.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tapping to Success show. I am so excited. This is an extra special show with an extra special guest talking about an extra special book. How's that? And we've got Jack Canfield on today, and we are talking about his best-selling book, one of my favorites, called The Success Principles. And, Jack, if it's okay with you, I would love, can we just kind of jump right in and start talking about you and the book?
Sure, absolutely.
So, you are, I mean, not only are you a best-selling author, you're a motivational speaker. Will you just share a little bit about your journey for those who aren't familiar with it? Because it's such a great story.
Well, I started out as a high school teacher in Chicago, an all-black inner-city high school, and I became more interested in why my students weren't motivated to learn than I was in teaching history. So I met a man named W. Clement Stone, who was a contemporary and friend of Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich. And he taught me all these success principles, which I then went back to my classroom and started teaching my students. And all of a sudden, these unmotivated students became supercharged, and they loved school, and they were getting good grades, and they were starting businesses before they graduated high school. This is in the middle of the ghetto. So basically, I thought, wow, I'm onto something here. So after 2 years, the school asked me to start teaching the other teachers this stuff, which I did. Then I became a teacher trainer to other schools, and finally, one day, this principal said, "My husband's company needs what you're doing." I said, "Really? I'd never worked in a company." She said, "They're just big kids in suits. Now go over there and work with them." Which is true, by the way. So I went over and taught the same principles, and they loved it. And so I started doing work in the corporate world and eventually started doing public seminars. And along the way, I was starting collecting stories because I know people always respond to stories more than concepts. And that ultimately became the first Chicken Soup for the Soul book, and then we went on kind of a detour from the training world to just writing books for a lot of years, and we now have 225 books in the series. There's 500 million copies in print.
Wow.
Worldwide in 47 languages. And then about 5 years ago, I became, maybe more like 10 years ago, I became like, I would have to say jaded. The stories that used to inspire me weren't. I thought, I've been doing this too long. So I'm going to switch gears, and I was sitting there thinking, all these Chicken Soup books have inspired people to be successful, but it hasn't shown them how to do it. So I thought I would take time. It took 18 months, and I wrote a book called The Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And in addition to everything that helped me become successful, I interviewed 75 of the most successful people in the world and found out if they were using the same principles and techniques. Turns out they all were, so I felt validated in teaching the stuff that is in the book. And so we came out with the first book in 2005. It sold almost 1 million copies in 40 languages around the world. And now it's our 10th anniversary, so we updated the book. 100 new pages, new chapters on things like leadership and networking and success in a digital age, which we can talk about. And the most exciting part of this book, Kate, is that all of the stories in the first book were about famous people and how they'd use these principles. Now all the stories are from people who read the first book, applied the principles, and now have had magical lives as well. So it's now possible to believe, okay, I know Walt Disney can do it and John Gray mm-hmm. can do it and, you know, Mother Teresa, but what about average normal people? And so we can talk about some of the average normal people who have gone on to produce amazing results only because they took these principles and techniques in the book and applied them.
And that's so important, is actually taking the action. So I would love to hear some of these stories because that's really the first key, and so many people hold off, they procrastinate. So please share.
Well, for example, one of my favorite stories that I start the book with is a guy named Forrest Willett who was up in Toronto. I was on a book tour for the first book. And he was in bed. He had a traumatic brain injury. He was in a car accident. They told him he'd never walk again. He'd never talk again. He was totally depressed because he couldn't make a living. He wasn't spending time with his kid and his wife. And he pretty much had given up. And he heard the announcer on TV say, "And after this break, Jack Canfield will tell you how to get from where you are to where you want to be." And he he perked up, and so he started listening, and he got so excited, he called his wife and said, get that book. Now, you have to realize, after the brain injury, he was reading at the third grade level, and he said that he read one page a day for a year and got through the book and finally got off his victimness and started taking responsibility for the fact that his life wasn't working anymore. It wasn't about the world. It was about him not doing anything he needed to do. He got speech therapy. He got physical therapy. He learned to read again. And to make a real long story short, he came, took one of my trainings. He's become a motivational speaker. He's one of the most sought-after speakers in Canada. He walks, talks, dances, juggles, you know, the whole deal. And all because of the book. And, you know, if someone with traumatic brain injury, or someone like Akshay Nanavati, who came back from Iraq with post-traumatic stress disorder, as many of our servicemen do, he was also depressed, got a copy of the book, decided to stop being depressed, and now he's got a goal where he's running across. His goal is to run across from border to border every country in the world before he dies. He's in his late 20s, early 30s, and he's finished five countries in the last several months, picked small ones to start with. And, you know, he's just a normal ex-serviceman. Elvin Slew was in prison in China. Said it was the most hellish, hellhole prison on the planet. Freezing cold in the winter, hellishly hot in the summer. And he got, he was convicted of fraud, which he actually didn't commit. His boss set him up as a scapegoat to protect himself. But anyway, his wife bribed a prison guard to give him a copy of my book. It's the only thing he read for 2 years in this Chinese prison. Came out of prison and started three new businesses, and is now a multimillionaire. And he said, that book was my Bible. I taught everyone in prison these principles. He said, some of my fellow prisoners are getting out now and becoming successful as well. It was their only textbook, if you will, in this Chinese prison. Those are just a couple of the examples.
That is so amazing. So let me ask you something, because you know, you've been doing this for quite a while. What do you think makes the difference between somebody who, you know, gets the book, even the first thing of even getting the book, and then actually following through? Are you seeing traits in why somebody does and why somebody doesn't?
Well, it's more like actions. You know, I think Tony Robbins once said, the only thing that changes your life are the decisions you make and the actions you take.
Yeah.
So if you keep on doing what you're doing now, 2 years from now, you're going to be living the same life. I always tell people, you know, if there's something you want and you don't have it, you've got to change. You've got to do something different, because what you want would have already showed up if what you're doing was enough. It's not. And so there's some place at some point you have to go inside and say, I've had enough. It's that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired decision, or I'm sick and tired of settling for less than I want, whether it's a bad marriage, abusive relationship, being overweight and tired and unhealthy, or being poor and not being able to afford the medicines you want for your children, or the education, or the travel, you know, whatever it is you want. People settle. I would say that, you know, average Americans are living in resignation. They've given up. Now, partly it's because they weren't taught this in school. Our schools do not teach these principles and techniques. And so we should have a course called Life Skills 101, where we teach people how to set goals, how to manage their emotions, how to overcome fear, how to get rid of guilt and resentment. You know, all of these things that we're not being taught. So, unfortunately, people have to self-educate, whether it's books or CDs or YouTube videos or going to seminars. It's people that say, okay, I want more, and I know I've got to do something. You make that decision. You know, I always tell people, just make the decision. The worst that can happen is nothing. You already got nothing. The best that can happen is you'll radically transform your life.
And, you know, and that is so huge. And I'm lucky, because I was actually brought up with the belief to keep going ahead and to keep trying things. Because it's true, what's the worst that's going to happen is you fail, you dust yourself off, you get on with it. But I do know that for so many people, just because of what they heard, their beliefs and all that have kept them stuck.
Well, it's true. It's true. I don't know what you do, but I heard the Tapping to Success, I think, was the title of your show. Do you do EFT tapping? Is that part of what you do?
Yes, I coach entrepreneurs and help them up-level their business very quickly. And so besides my marketing background, I did business development for a very long time in corporate. I also pull the tapping in to help them work through all the little blocks and beliefs that are holding them back.
Exactly. And so we have, and I also use tapping a lot, and I wrote a book on it called Tapping into Ultimate Success. And the reality is we now have this technology that's so simple, so easy to learn. In fact, it's so simple, most people think it doesn't work. But the fact is, it does. I mean, I've literally helped people get rid of phobias in 5 minutes or less, help people recover from traumatic incidents in their life, get rid of limiting beliefs that are holding them back. I mean, I had one guy who didn't realize he had a belief that it wasn't okay to make more money than his father. And when we worked together and he got in touch with that, because his first job, he actually made more money than his father in the first paycheck. And his father was like, instead of thrilled and proud, his father was disappointed. He said, I don't ever want to make my father feel that way again. That's when he was 22. Forgot he made that decision. Now he's 43, still only making about $100,000 a year, which is not a bad income. But this guy should have been making $500,000 a year easily because he's just a great salesman. So we tapped on it, and he told me, he wrote me a letter about a week later. He said, in the 2 days after the seminar, I make 1/5 of my normal annual income. So, you know, what would normally take 2 months to make, he made in 2 days. He went on to make over $500,000 that year. So it can be that simple. And no question, we've got to do work. We have to, you know, once we get over our limiting beliefs, there's still work to do. We got to build a business, write a book, whatever it is. But the fact is, the things that used to stop us in terms of fears and limiting beliefs, phobias, and all those, you know, childhood wounds, they don't have to stop us anymore.
They don't, and that's what's so huge, and people don't realize that, because you're right, what you said earlier, people do settle. They stay in their comfort zone, and they don't, and the big thing I see too, Jack, you know, I work mostly with female entrepreneurs, is that they don't dream big.
Right.
You know, they
right.
play it really, really small, and I know where, you know, you're talking about success, and from your experience, do you think people are better off, you know, thinking of where they want to be a year from now, or, and I guess even in your own, for you even personally, did you have this vision when you first started, like, hey, this is what I want to do, or were you just taking, okay, I just want to get this book done, and then I want to write another best-selling book? What strategy did you use?
Well, I think some of the things I've accomplished in life were those specific goals I set out, you know, in 5 years to have a good training company. And, you know, with Chicken Soup for the Soul, we said we wanted to sell 150,000 in the first year and 1.5 million in a year and a half. And we did 1.3 million. And we weren't very disappointed. We thought, wow, it's pretty cool. Stuff works. And then we set a goal. And I think this is a reasonable for people. You know, you have to achieve some smaller goals, build up your self-confidence and self-esteem. But once you've done that, then you want to start setting big goals. So 3 years into Chicken Soup, we set a goal to sell 1 billion books by the year 2020. Now it's 2015. We've sold 500 million. And based on, you know, that hockey stick curve, you know, the faster you go, it goes up faster and all that. So basically, just in the last 3 years, I think we sold 300 million in China. And, you know, you don't always have to know how you're going to do something. You just have to commit to what you want to do. And then the how will show up. And so we start setting goals. We just set a goal about 3 months ago to have 1 million people on the planet by the year 2030 teaching the success principles. Because we've taught this now to literally millions of people in life seminars. I've got 500 trainers that I've trained running around the world teaching this stuff. And now we came up with this idea, what if we created a home study program so people in Nigeria and the Sudan and South Africa and, you know, Mongolia, whatever, who can't afford to get on a plane and come to America and spend 3 weeks to get trained, can learn these principles over the Internet and become a certified trainer. And so we spent the last 2 years developing a home study program. Comes online, I think, about March 1st. And it's about 1/5 the cost of our other training, and there's also no travel, no hotel bills, no food, all that. So that's our goal. Now, most people, you say, you're going to train 1 million trainers, you're out of your mind. And we did the math. We looked at having, you know, country coordinators, regional coordinators, and so forth. We said, this is possible. We can do this. This is worth doing. And if we train 1 million trainers, we can reach every person on the planet. So it's like, you know, why not set a big goal? And one of the things I quote in the book, the guy who started Remax, you know, when he started it, everyone laughed at him. He couldn't get anyone to work for him. Now he's worth about $800 million. He said, when you set a big goal, you attract big people. You know, if Martin Luther King,
I love that.
I got involved in the civil rights movement back in the 70s. And, you know, if Martin Luther King said, I'm going to open up one school in Alabama, I don't think anyone would have got on a bus. But when he said, I want to end, not apartheid, but that's out of South Africa, but I end racism in America, a lot of people said, I want to be part of that. So I taught in an inner city school for a couple of years because the dream was so big, I wanted to do something meaningful. So you attract people that want to do something big. If you dream small, you attract small-minded people. So I think it's really, you know, I always tell people, whatever your dream is, just double it. So if I'm running a seminar and someone says, I want to make $1 million in 2 years, I say, why don't we double it? Let's make $2 million in 1 year. and their mind goes all, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
goes on, you know,
their head starts spinning you know? Around.
But basically, when they do it, they pull it off. And
yeah.
so, you know, your actions are only as big as your dreams. And if you can dream bigger, you can do bigger. And Walt Disney said something very interesting once. He said, you can never have a dream that you can't make come true, meaning that you can, if you can think of it, you can do it. Now, you may have to get more training. You may have to partner up with people. You may need to get investment capital. But there's nothing you can't do. One of my students lives in Ireland, and he read my book and got very excited about it. Decided, he was just a normal businessman. He decided that the politics in Ireland was terrible, and he decided to run for president. Now, there were 9 people in the campaign. That's very different the way we do it here. 9 people ran for president, and he would have won. He was 22% ahead in the polls the day before the election, and then they released a scandal about him, which was a lie, but there was no time to recount it, to rebut it. So he lost based on the corruption of the old politicians. But he came in second, and he'd never been in politics in his life. But he decided to run on a campaign of everybody being positive, let's get rid of the corruption, let's make the government work for everybody. And he got very, very close. So just, you know, one book transformed almost a country.
And that, you know, it's so powerful. And I'm just, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it is so true. And I'm so grateful for you giving that reminder, too. It's like, you know, the people you associate with, I mean, that affects everything.
Yes, it does. I have a chapter in the book called Drop Out of the End of the Awful Club. And there's a quote from Jim
Rohn.
It's a very famous quote at this point in the Human Potential Movement, which is, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And we see that in school. The F students hang out with the F students. The A students hang out with the A students. And we see it in the business world. You know, the top performing mm-hmm. people belong to the country club. The people at the bottom belong to the local bar down in the far end of town. And so you want to always hang out with people that are succeeding at just a little bit higher level than you. Now, you know, most people are not going to get on a plane flight and sit next to Bill Gates or, you know, Donald Trump. I got private jets. But if you're making $100,000 a year, why not get into the influence of some people making $200,000? If you join a professional association. One guy who I mentored wanted to meet with this guy who was making $1 million a year selling insurance, and he was only doing about $50,000 a year. So he called this guy up and said, do you ever fly anywhere? He said, yes, I do. He said, would you mind if I bought the ticket for the seat next to you and talked to you for the 2 or 3 hours you're on the plane? I said, no, that's a great idea. So he bought the first-class ticket next to this other guy. They talked for 2 or 3 hours. He got a bunch of great ideas and went off and implemented them, and now he's making over $1 million a year. So,
wow, that's fabulous.
Yeah, it's just be a little gutsy, a little out of the box.
Yeah.
You know? Worst that can happen is you'll get a no. You already have a no. Can't get worse.
Exactly. Well, I was brought up with the philosophy by my mom is that if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's so true. I actually have a little rock on my desk that someone carved the words into, if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's really a quote from Gandhi originally.
Really? Really?
Yeah, remember Gandhi asked the British to leave India.
Yeah.
They weren't real happy about it. But, you know, through his nonviolent approach, the Indians started feeling so guilty, beating everyone up, they finally said, we can't win this, let's leave. So, you know, and he asked millions of people to march to the ocean with him when they had the salt campaign and so forth. So, you know, I've asked for so many things in my life that I never would have gotten if I hadn't asked. You know, upgrades on airplanes, best seats in the, you know, the concert, upgrade to, you know, the front row of a nightclub in Vegas. And if someone's going to get it, why not you?
That's right. That's right. And I'm so glad you're mentioning that. And I'm curious, you know, when you were writing the book, were there any principles that just really surprised you, either because it was just either so easy that you just never thought about it, or just something you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that?
Well, there's actually a couple principles I wanted in the book. I couldn't even get in the book. My publisher said, this book is too long. Stop. Because I had about 100 of them. I'm going to write the lost principles someday. You know, it's like, the unpublished principles. But one of the principles I discovered that shocked me, and it's come into the foreground recently. Arianna Huffington wrote about it in her last book. And that is, most of America is sleep deprived.
Yeah.
You know, most of us are getting 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep, and we need somewhere between 6.5 to 8. And some people even need 9. And I interviewed a guy at Cornell University who is a sleep expert. And he said that he was studying why are some people 4.0 students and other people not. And he found that all his 4.0 students at Cornell all took copious notes, and they reviewed their notes the same day they took them, which I never did in college. And I graduated in the half of the class that made the top half possible, to put it in a poetic way. And so what happens is that they took notes, they read them the same day, but he also said they all got 8 hours of sleep. They said they would never, ever give up their 8 hours of sleep. And so when you're sleep deprived, you can't think as well, you make bad decisions, your reflexes are worse, you tend to be, you know, crabby, it ruins mm-hmm. your relationships, you're not happy to be around. And one of the things I found is that people love to do business with people that uplift them.
That's
you know,
right.
People want to be around people that they enjoy being with. So in addition to all the success principles of setting goals and visualizing and affirming and taking action and responding to feedback and never quitting and all that, you want to be the kind of person that someone told me this once, said you want to be the kind of person that if you were a plumber and you had a conversation with another person, they'd walk away thinking, there must be some plumbing I need done. I want to spend more time with that guy. And so that's another aspect of just, you know, being upbeat and positive and having enough sleep and eating good food and not getting sick and being in a good mood all the time.
It makes a difference. And when you're thinking like that, you're also more creative, you're more clear-headed, you make better decisions.
Absolutely.
So what's your favorite principle in the book?
Well,
if I can ask you that, is that like choosing your favorite child?
Well, that's like me asking if you only keep one organ in your body, which one would you keep? You know, you need them all or you die, you know. So
yeah.
I think, you know, I'll answer that in a moment, but I think the real answer is there's 25 principles out of the 67 in the new updated book that are critical, and they are a system, and they need to be done in the right order. And if you do that, I say the system always works if you always work the system. You know, we have people that, you know, written best-selling books, they become Olympic athletes, you know, after reading my book, because they did the things in the book in the order they're supposed to be done. So that's the first 25 are critical, but you know, some of the really core ones, I believe that if you don't have a mastermind group, you're really wasting your time. We have a mastermind group is 5 to 6 people who are either in the same profession or different professions you can choose, who get together either by phone or in person once every 2 weeks, and you spend 1 to 2 hours together. Each person gets to be the focus person for 10 or 20 minutes, and you talk about the issues you're facing, the challenges you're facing, the obstacles you're facing, the goals you want to achieve. And then a group brainstorms solutions for you. They introduce you to people. They come up with creative ideas. And that, to me, has been one of the things that really has been a core of my success. I taught this to a young man when I was in Malaysia who, this is so cool, this guy sat in the hotel lobby of the hotel he knew I was going to be in for 6 hours waiting for me to come down from my room. When I did, he cornered me and asked if he could walk, you know, a couple blocks with me. I said yes. We ended up having lunch together. And I taught him about mastermind groups. Now, here's a kid, 26 years old, who then approaches a billionaire in Malaysia and said, I'd like to join a mastermind group with you. And the guy says, what's a mastermind group? And this young man said what it was, and this billionaire being bright said, oh, that's a great idea. Why don't you go find one more person your age, and I'll go find four mine, and we'll put it together. Now, 4 years later, this guy sends my 26-year-old student to Las Vegas to study with the greatest magicians in the world. Kabir Khan is now his name, and he goes back to Malaysia and becomes one of the top magicians in Asia. He's performed for the Sheikh of Dubai and all through Asia. And this billionaire started to build a restaurant, a revolving restaurant, on top of the tallest building in Malaysia, and asked my friend Kabir to be his business partner. So now he's about 30, and he's part of a restaurant that makes him almost $1 million a year because he started this mastermind group. So that's one thing. And the second thing is meditation. I think that, you know, I did not learn to meditate until I was about 29 or 30 years old. And the title for Chicken Soup for the Soul came to me in a meditation. And as a result of that, that brand is now worth about $100 million. And it, you know, it came from some higher place, not my brain. It came through my brain. But if I hadn't been meditating for a title, I never would have gotten that. It probably would have been nice stories to read or something. So it's we now have Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover Soul dog and cat food. There's Chicken Soup food products, you know, real chicken soup you can buy, etc. All of which are creating royalties, you know, probably till the end of time.
Well, and when you think about it, too, it's not just the one person who reads the book and gets the results, but everything that transforms. So the fellow you just mentioned, the fact that he created a mastermind, that probably now affects everybody he's come in contact with. And if he ever has kids, it'll affect them, how they show up. I mean, so it's just generations and generations, Jack, that you know, he'll never even know that are affected by the, you know, those decisions.
Well, just to give you another example, when I was in Chennai, India a few years ago, a man named C.K. Kumaraval came up to me and said that he had read my book and decided that he wanted to start with his wife a salon. They just wanted to make $1,300 a month. Now, that's enough in India to live a nice middle-class life, much cheaper than here in America. And so they started this salon, and then they thought, well, let's start another salon. And by 4 years into it, they were opening up more salons. He's literally on his way to have 1,000 salons. He had 320 of them in 2013. They've employed 50,000 people. So, you know, you sit there and you go, okay, I just tell you another story. I'm working on a book called The Billionaire Secret with a man from Germany. And he and I have been interviewing billionaires, and they're very hard to get to, but if you do, they're very interesting people. And we asked this one billionaire in Norway who owns the largest hotel chain in all of Scandinavia. We said, what do you think is the difference between millionaires and billionaires? He said, millionaires are just in it for the money, mostly. He said, billionaires, they're passionate about what they do. They can't not do what they do. This guy loves to build cooler and better hotels, one after the other. This guy in India, he just wanted to provide jobs for people. This man in Iran, he wanted to provide 25,000 jobs for people. That was his passion because he came from a poor village where no one had work. So he's built all his factories. He creates diapers like Pampers, and he makes cosmetics, and he makes plastic, you know, packing materials, etc. And all because he has this passion. And the money, you know, do what you love, the money will follow. It's a great principle in life. Most people chase the money, and they don't get it, and they end up, you know, their ego gets involved, and they end up walking over people and all of that instead of, like, you know, just doing it for the love of it.
And I was just thinking about that. That's so true because I don't think I know any billionaires, but I do know lots of millionaires. So, Jack, I just want to make sure, just looking at the time, that I just give everybody the website I have here for them to get more information. And
sure,
is thesuccessprinciples.com.
Well,
thesuccessprinciplesbook.com.
Yeah, thesuccessprinciplesbook.com. And if you go there, I mean, you can go to Amazon and buy the book, but if you go through the little website, thesuccessprinciplesbook.com, you'll still be routed to Amazon or Barnes & Noble to buy the book. But what you'll also get are some free downloads. One is a videotape of me. It's an hour-long video seminar I did on how to set goals successfully and create a significant life, step-by-step process to plan and design your life rather than to live your life by default. There's also a one-hour audio you get to download, which is me answering the most often asked questions about this book and where people sometimes get confused. Then you have the first two chapters of the book, so you'll get those digitally downloaded to you the day you order it. You don't have to wait for the book to come from Amazon or from Barnes & Noble. And then you'll get an instant income business planner if you're a business person, put together by my co-author on this book. Janet Schweitzer helps me often write these books, and she's written a book called Instant Income, so you'll get all of that for free. It's about $100 worth of extra material, and it's all good stuff.
Oh, that's very, very cool. Thank you for sharing that. And again, everybody, it's the URL or the website is thesuccessprinciplesbook.com. So it's principles is plural, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E-S, book.com. So Jack, I know we're almost out of time, and I know I can't keep you because I'm sure you're super busy. But again, congratulations. I mean, this is awesome. 10-year anniversary of the book. Thank you for adding more stuff. I can't wait to dig into it. And thank you for being here.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share this with your followers.
Thank you so much. And is there anything in the last minute you want to share?
Well, let me end with one more story because
I just
love these stories. It's made my
and we love hearing them.
Part of the book. I was in Manila in the Philippines about 4 years ago doing a seminar, and I was did a book signing at the mall in a bookstore the night before. And this man comes up to me, a young man in his 20s, comes up and says, can I interview you for the newspaper? I said, what newspaper? He told me. I said, sure. So as they were closing up the bookstore, he interviewed me, and it was a great interview. I really loved it. And I said, John, that's one of the best interviews I've ever had. You're really cool. I said, how long have you been doing this? And he went, you're my first interview. I said, get out of here. How's that possible? Turns out he had been running a restaurant with a friend. They owned it, and they got into a fight, and they kind of screwed up the restaurant. It went bankrupt, and he didn't have a car, so his girlfriend left him. He was couch surfing because he didn't have a place to live. I said, John, how much money do you have? He said, I got $3.28 in my pocket, and that's it. So I reached into my pocket. I gave him a $20 bill. I said, well, buy dinner on me tonight. And I bought him a book from the bookstore. I had to buy it from the bookstore to give it to him. And I said, read the book. I said, I think, you know, you can turn your life around. You're a very talented young guy. You've got a great personality. Read this book. So I come back to Manila about 2 years later, and I'm walking in to do another training, about 800 people, and in walks John, and I didn't recognize him at first. He was wearing a blue blazer with a gold emblem on his pocket. He had about 10 guys walking behind him with the same emblem on. He's wearing gold shoes, Doc Martin shoes that are gold, and he's like, just, you know, cock of the walk. I said, you the guy that interviewed me 2 years ago? He said, yeah. I said, you look different, John. He said, I am. I said, what happened? He said, well, when you gave me that book, I realized your life worked. You were a multimillionaire. You were a best-selling author. You had a great life. You looked fit and happy and healthy. My life sucked. And he said, I decided I was going to do every single thing you wrote about in this book. I don't know anyone who's done every single thing in that book. It's 64 principles at the time. And he said, for 1 year, I said, I'm going to do everything in the book. If it doesn't work, I'll have wasted a year. But if it does, maybe I can be as successful as Jack. Well, it turns out he is now the number one motivational speaker in the Philippines. He had a house and a condo on the ocean. He had two cars. He had a radio show, a TV show. He was making $1 million a year, and he was getting 800 to 1,000 people at all of his events. He's now known as Mr. Money Magnet in Manila. And I said, John, that's amazing. And he said, well, it's all because of your book. So I only share that to inspire people to get a copy of the book, because I don't need another dollar. I've sold 500 million books, do the math. But what excites me is to get another story, get another letter, get another video on YouTube of somebody who's made that transition. That's what floats my boat. So, you know, the book costs $15. If you can't afford that, you know, write me, I'll send you one free. But the point is, if you buy the book and you don't like it, it doesn't work for you, send me the book back. I'll send you your $15 back. I'm that convinced it'll help people. I really am committed to helping people help themselves create the life they've always wanted.
And that is so powerful. And the book is awesome. I mean, there's so many things every day for people to be doing. And, you know, like you said, you've done it. And you've interviewed people who've done it. And to me, it's like, it's just plain foolishness. If you see someone who's done it, to not listen to what they're doing, right?
Absolutely. And that's how you and I live our life. We see someone doing something we want to do, we go find out how to do it.
Yeah, and we want to hang out with them.
Yeah, exactly. So let's encourage everyone to jump into the pool with us.
Just before we go, this is an amazing book. I mean, I got it many years ago, and I reread it every year. I don't necessarily reread I'll be honest, I don't read the whole book every year, but I definitely read chapters every year. And because I find Jack Canfield is hugely motivating, and I want to be super successful, and I want resources that are the best, and this book is the best.
Well, thank you so much, Kit. I appreciate the feedback.
You're very, very welcome, and thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's
take
do it
care.
Again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jack. Bye.
Okay, bye.